You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Hen Day built. Just once again, Woodley, how you doing?
I'm good. I can tell you that the Canucks have three games between now and Saturday night when the Oilers arrive, and the only thing I can guarantee you is that very few of the tire fires currently burning around this team are likely to be extinguished by then.
Well, dude, when your GM comes out and says, well, all I know is Bruce is our coach for today, but I am talking and calling, but that doesn't mean I want to make a change. Of course, what do you mean it doesn't mean you want to make a change? Otherwise, you wouldn't be calling. Like, this is crazy. I get that you're searching for another coach. That happens all the time. But to suggest that it means, well, it doesn't mean we're wanting to make a change, of course it does. Why else would you be talking? And why would you be asking Rick Tocchet to formulate who his coaching staff is?
Well, and here's the other part of this. It's not even the GM. That's the president of hockey operations. When the GM speaks, we don't hear anything, or at least nothing of consequence. But when Jim Rutherford speaks, boy, like, hey, I'm not complaining as a media person. He fills our notebooks, and it was loaded today, including the discussion on the coach. And I'll take you back to our conversation at the beginning of the season, because you remember I was a little frustrated, I would say, and with the way things were looking here in terms of the way this team was made up. And I saw a bad season coming for this group. And at the top of the list was Rutherford postseason last year, throughout the summer, and even going into this year, continued to talk like he didn't like anything about the way the coach he had in place operated, or the systems, or the lack of structure that the Canucks played with under Bruce Boudreau. I mean, we remember early in the season, going on Hockey Night in Canada in the After Hours segment, and basically saying that he didn't even know that Boudreau had another year under his contract, but they would just abide by it. Like, the way this, among the many things that have been mishandled by this organization this year, in terms of player personnel, who they signed, who they didn't sign, what it's going to cost them, what it has cost them already, not being on the same page, management and coaching, and being so open about it as far back as the end of last season is really high on the list. And I'm not sure, for as much focus as we put on the players and their failures, like, that is a hell of a handicap to start the season with, when everyone in the room and around the team, and hell, anyone who listens to interviews, knows that there's that type of discord between management and coaching. It's remarkable. And so when you hear that today, I'm with you. From the outside, it probably sounds absurd. But it's kind of what we've been dealing with here for the last year and a bit. And it really is. Like, it's absurd, remarkable, tired. Like, whatever label you want to put on it, it applies. And it's not a real good sign of stability to cap off a press conference that started with them talking about Tanner Pearson having to conduct a press conference with your medical staff to defend the handling of an injury that went from 4 to 6 weeks to, we're not sure if he'll play next year. And by some reporting, has Tanner Pearson now undergoing a fifth surgery today for an injury that may not have required one in the first place. Like, there is,
what is the injury?
Broken hand was what I believe was reported originally. He blocked. It wasn't even a shot.
So the surgery,
support. Yeah,
the surgery didn't go well, and now he's had complications more because of it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the amazing thing was that they brought out the doctor, the staff today, and of course they can't talk about the surgery. There's patient client confidentiality, there's privacy laws. They're not going to give specifics on the setbacks, although they did mention there have been two. They wouldn't confirm the number of surgeries. It's been reported by different places as much as 4 or 5 and maybe a 6th required. Basically, today was, for lack of a better term, performance theater. It was their medical staff standing up and saying, here's the procedures we follow. These are best practices. All the players have faith in what we do and how we're handling their health and their injuries. because we ask them and they tell us so. Clearly, when Quinn Hughes spoke up on Thursday night, his words, it wasn't handled properly. That was the first time he was asked about Tanner Pearson missing the rest of the season. He backtracked it the next day, but I would say the damage was done at that point. Anytime you have a player speaking out that openly about a teammate's health and the way it's been handled, the alarm bells were off. The media was chasing the story, and there's been a lot of reporting on it since that, despite everything that's been said today, would indicate there are, at the very least, still questions that need to be answered, even if the four-day internal review they conducted has them satisfied with how everything was handled.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, let's get to Seattle. That's who the Oilers play tomorrow. They're playing Tampa Bay today. They just did what no NHL team's ever done and win all seven games of a road trip. And they still, like, they win games big, 8-4, 8-5. Now, they did shut out Boston, full marks for that one, for sure. But you just look at, now, their goals against isn't high, but their save percentage of their goalies is not very good. Are their goaltenders playing better than their save percentage suggests?
First off, how about, like, all the focus on the seven-game road trip? How about coming off the seven-game roadie, playing a home game in the afternoon today, and then flying to Edmonton? Like,
that's tough, that's schedule. Crazy. Yeah, it's a tough schedule.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So, I mean, you got to think that's catching up with them at some point. The really fascinating thing to me is when I look at the adjusted save percentage, like, Martin Jones is net negative. Now, a bunch of that is that 9-8 game against LA, and at the end of the day, he made one more save than the other guy and won the game. I guess it's just to say the other two guys, because while Jones was in for all eight, LA split the nine they gave up between Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson, who hasn't been in the league since. So that hurts his numbers. But at the end of the day, he is getting the results he's getting with negative expected save percentage. And what's interesting to me is they continue to roll him out there pretty much in a number one role ahead of Philip Grubauer. And I'm not surprised by that, because you remember I said this in August. They did not sign, I had good information, they signed Martin Jones to give him every opportunity to take that job, because they were not happy with how things went the first season for Philip Grubauer. Grubauer had injuries again this season that set him back. But when he's been in there, this is the irony, Grubauer is actually top 15 in adjusted save percentage right now. Really low expected, really bad environment when he's in there. Jones has got a much nicer environment, has underperformed it, and is getting all the wins. So this is a little bit of a confusing one. I think Grubauer's sample size is still small enough that the discrepancy in expected, in other words, he's played behind a much tougher environment, you can't make definitive statements about it. But if that gap between defensive environments continues between Grubauer and Jones over a larger sample, you have to start asking questions about why this team plays so much worse in front of Philip Grubauer, and especially given that we heard how unhappy management was, and that's why they went out and acquired Jones, with the full understanding they were going to give him every opportunity to seize the job. So numbers aren't pretty, but in the win column, it's just fine. And when you talk to people around the team, they feel like, you know, if you were to classify the goals in terms of, you know, could have, should have, and stopped, or had no chance, they're comfortable as a staff with where he's at and what he's given up. And even if the numbers are still on the negative side, he's giving them steadiness and consistency. They don't ask for spectacular. They just want a steady baseline. And with the changes he's made in his game over the last couple of years, Jones is way better equipped to provide that. And, you know, the fact that he, you know, still ranks 56th in the NHL out of 73 goalies to play face more than 150 shots, it's kind of irrelevant to them, because they seem to have built a trust and a faith that he's going to stop the ones he should for them. And last year, they weren't getting that. And that's, you know, whether it's right or wrong, in their eyes, that's an improvement, and that's all they're asking for.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. So, now, Vasilevsky, if you're Tampa Bay, they play Seattle right now, and then they're into Vancouver on Wednesday. Where would you play Vasilevsky in those back-to-back sets? Right? Because he's playing today. Would you rest him against Vancouver? and play him against Edmonton, or do you go your best to ensure the first game of the back-to-back? What would you do?
Well, it's interesting because I think that all depends on how Vasilevskiy feels coming off that first game. And I don't think you could ignore the potential effect of traveling from east to west and then playing that afternoon game. So, yeah, he gets through today. But maybe the extra day's rest, because it's coming off a long flight west, is more important. And at the end of the day, this is conversations between goalie coach and Andrei Vasilevskiy. That's first and foremost. If there's any fatigue, and man, I don't know that any goaltender has shown less signs of fatigue over the past 3 years than Andrei Vasilevskiy. Being a workhorse is a big part of why I continue to say he's still the best goalie in the world. My leanings would be like you said. I would probably sit him in Vancouver to give him the extra day and play him against Edmonton. I'll be honest, if you can't beat the Canucks right now with either goalie, then you're probably in trouble. So, and the other thing, too, is the Canucks are losing because they can't defend, not because they can't score. So they can actually create difficult nights for your goaltenders. They have offensive firepower. They're not a good team, but they can score goals. So in terms of, you know, thinking, well, we'll give Vasilevskiy the easier of the two opponent-wise, it doesn't mean you're going to give him an easier night. So I would lean towards more rest, especially, you know, we talked about coming off trips. This will be the first game back for Vancouver off a pretty tough five-game swing back east, so you're probably not going to get their best either. So everything to me indicates Vasilevskiy against Edmonton, and maybe that's just because I want to see Vasilevskiy against Edmonton. Best on best, right? That's what we want, and that's probably what I would guess we'll see.
Okay, and lastly, you know, you look around the league, but Stuart Skinner became a father. Him and his wife Chloe welcomed young Bo on Thursday, and how things have changed as a father. I think it's fantastic that players are allowed extra time off to be with their, to help support their wife, number one, but also be there for the birth of their children. It's a magical moment that is much more important than a hockey game. I don't care what anyone says. And, you know, that never used to be the case in the NHL. Glad to see that it is now for those young men. It's very important. But Stuart Skinner, that gave Jack Campbell an opportunity to start three consecutive games. And I thought Campbell was solid. Not spectacular, but solid. You know, he's changed his equipment, as you said, has made him look a little bit bigger. Talk about Jack's numbers in those games, and then would you automatically go back to Skinner, or do you give him an extra day of practice after having 6 days off?
Well, two things there. One, I'm with you. Didn't have to be spectacular. Obviously, the San Jose game, like, that's a good one because you're not worried about margin for error. You can play somewhat freely when your team puts up those kind of numbers. And he was really good in that one, right? Like, made the one spectacular save, the backdoor on Vlasic, which is, you know, those are the types of saves that can make Jack Campbell a difference maker. It's making sure you stop all the easy and sort of mid-range ones at a consistent level, which is where his performance tends to swing a little bit. He's always been capable of the big moments, the big saves. So that one helps him build a little confidence. You know, I thought I watched good chunks of the game against Vegas. He pretty much performs right to expect it. Again, not spectacular, but there's a building block there. I would be tempted to continue to let him roll, especially with all that time off for Stuart Skinner. Like you said, I think it's awesome. I think it's the way it should be that he was able to go and spend that time and be a part of such a big moment. But you want to make sure that he comes back and he's good physically and he feels good. You don't want to rush him. Give him some reps in practice, the types of drills that simulate game situations, and maybe ease him back in just a little bit. There's some adjustments here now for Stuart. Goalies are creatures of habit. You know, the game day routines, especially when you're at home, nap time, all those types of things. I've talked to a lot of goalies over the years that had to make adjustments after their first child was born because priority shifts, schedule shifts, sleep can shift. And again, creatures of habit and routine and very specific things. And we know as parents, Jason, that babies change all that. So, you know, there may be a little bit of an adjustment period. I don't know that I'd rush him back in. I certainly wouldn't wait too long and make that gap any longer. But you'd want to get him into a couple of practices for sure, make sure he has time to work with Dustin Schwartz on the drills that they know between each other, get Stuart Skinner ready for a game. And they vary from goalie to goalie, but you know a goalie coach like Dustin Schwartz is going to be dialed into those needs and be able to deliver and get a feel for where Skinner is in those drills relative to where he needs to be to hop back in that net and play a game.
Kev, great stuff, buddy. I appreciate it. Have yourself an awesome day.
I will. I'm going to grab a fire hydrant and see if I can extinguish one or two of these tires before the Oilers arrive on Saturday.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. Something tells me that fire is only going to be burning brighter all week long in Vancouver.